The old horses would say, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. I thank God for His giftings in others, and I just thank God for that. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. And if you do have your notes, would you take your notes out, and I want you to look at the top. And along the top, it says, judge not, and I want you to mark that out and write judgmental. See, I changed the title of it towards the end of the week, and I didn't change the notes. So don't judge me. That's the best dad joke I've got today, okay? You're welcome. Matthew chapter 7. We've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, and you've made it all the way to chapter 7. I'm so proud of you. We are continuing to walk verse by verse, section by section, and I'm looking forward to, we've gone from Jesus in chapter 5 really addressing the inner man, the Beatitudes, the salt and the light, and really dealing with what's in the heart of a man. And chapter 6 are these outward behaviors, praying and fasting, the normal demands of life, our finances, our treasures, and we walk through that series of treasures traps. And then we get to chapter 7, and he's going to focus on this barriers of others really coming, these stumbling blocks for people coming to the kingdom and people coming to know him. And so this morning, we're starting with this first one of these barriers, these stumbling blocks, and I've just titled it judgmental. And so Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And again, I'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for your word. I pray right now you would give me grace to die to self, fill me with your spirit, hide me behind your cross, and give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. God, I pray that you would open up our minds that we can understand. You'd open up our hearts that we would receive. And God, I pray you give us wills to be obedient to how you speak to our life. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Many of us have heard this quoted in all sorts of contexts. People feel like they're being judged, or their behavior is being questioned, or their conduct is being called to the carpet, and they're quick to say, judge not, judge not, judge not, lest you be judged. And I believe, I put on my Facebook a status that I was preaching on one of the most misinterpreted verses in all of Scripture. And there were a lot of good ones. If you're interested and want to be entertained, you can go and look at that status. There were a lot of comments. And someone even guessed this one. I believe it's in top 5, top 10 maybe of scriptures that just absolutely misinterpreted, misunderstood, misrepresented. And so this morning, I want to preach to you this message I've titled Judgmental. And so the main idea of the text, if you're taking notes this morning, is God desires for us to judge rather than be judgmental. Yes, I did say that. Let me repeat it again. God desires for us to judge, but not be judgmental. We're going to unpack that, okay? You can tweet me later. Key questions. Are you quick to be judgmental? See, here's the idea and here's the premise of it. Is yes, God does want us to be a judge. Now, what does that mean? Now, we understand and hopefully we got a hold of this morning that ultimately there is one judge. People often say, judge not lest you be judged. Don't judge me. I've only got one judge and that's God. And that's absolutely right, and you not ought to say that with confidence. Because he's the one that knows everything. Knows every thought. Knows every dirty look. Knows everything that we've ever done. So the scripture, the Hebrew says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But however, I do believe this is misinterpreted, misquoted, misapplied. As we say, judge not unless you be judged. And there's this idea that we're to never judge anybody or anything at any time. But I don't believe that's at all what Jesus is saying. Matter of fact, let me help support that with Scripture. Let me give you a couple verses this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now let me ask you a question. If evil company corrupts good habits, then God wants me to be careful about the company that I keep. How am I going to do that if I never judge an individual? If I never take appropriate assessment of where they are in their life, how am I going to know whether somebody's evil or not? How will I ever discern that? How will I ever separate that? Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. If God never wants me to assess where an individual is in their walk with the Lord, never wants me to try to get an indication of what's going on in their life, then how am I going to guard against taking counsel with ungodly people, hanging out with sinful, wicked people, and just, man, making them the all-time company? A matter of fact, we're going to see later in chapter 7 where the scripture says, beware of false prophets because you'll know them by their fruits. We're going to unpack this. So people misunderstand and misapply this text all the time. Let me help you with the difference. There's a grave difference between being judgmental and judging actions and fruit and behavior. Big difference. Judgmentalism, looking and being judgmental, we're going to unpack some of this, calls into question their character, calls into question their heart, and attacks the individual. But judging their actions, their fruits, their behavior says, listen, regardless of where their heart is, all I can look is the outward behavior that I see, and it's not about them, it's just about the product in which I see. And it's not looking at them with this judgmental perspective that they can't ever be something different if God gets a hold of their life. Big difference between judging fruit and behavior and conduct and being judgmental. Jesus condemns being judgmental, and we're going to see that in the text this morning. Number one, a judgmental person is not the same as a fruit inspector. Now listen, I know preachers, we like to use this line just to be funny, that God's not called me to be judgmental, but I'm just a fruit inspector. And we're going to see this again later in chapter 7 in verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets. You'll know them by their fruits. It says a good tree does not bear bad fruit. A bad tree does not bear good fruit. You'll know a tree by its fruits. And so there's this different idea of a judgmental person, again, attacks the character, and a fruit inspector looks at what's going on. But we have to be really careful because it is a fine line. Notice verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, or so that you're not judged. And then he goes on to define that judgment, saying the judgment you use will be judged, be the measure in which you experience yourself. And so that in itself proves the idea that Jesus is not saying, don't inspect an individual's life. Don't shy away from if somebody's straying away from the Lord, to be ready to come alongside them, admonish them, correct them, rebuke them so that they return back to the Lord. See, it's all about motivation. Judgmental says, I condemn you, you're wrong, I don't care about you. But a fruit inspector, somebody who loves Jesus, who's judging their fruit, saying, listen, you're sleeping around, that is not of the Lord, that is unrighteousness. I want to see you redeemed and reconciled back to the Lord because I love you and you're missing out on God's best. The difference between judgmental and a fruit inspector. A judgmental person condemns. Romans 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore you are an excusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another person, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And again, this is the idea of being judgmental. Thinking that you are above the judgment of God, condemning another individual. And Paul is saying, whoa, you need to back up just a moment. You need to be really careful because the same individual, the same God who will judge them will be the same God that you answer to. Romans 14, Paul would later say this in verse 10, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in a brother's way. And so being judgmental just condemns an individual, does not care about their soul, does not care about their godly well-being. But a fruit inspector says, I see this going on in your life, and I know that's not God's plan and God's purpose and God's design for you, and I want to see something better, but still understanding who I am and my struggles. But hear me, dear friend. I would be amiss if I didn't pause out of this Romans 14 passage. Each one of us will stand before the living God who is our judge. And we will give an account of ourselves. Every wrong look, every wicked thought, every late night scrolling, every inappropriate action, we will stand before a holy, living God and give an account. And may I just present to you, I would suggest that you have an advocate on your side. Jesus. Because when you trust Jesus as your Lord, the scripture describes him as the advocate. And so one day when I stand before a living God, I won't stand alone. I'll stand there covered in the righteousness of his Son, of Jesus, and I'll stand there before him, and Jesus will say, hold on, he is mine. He's covered in the righteousness of his Son, Jesus, and he is declared free, innocent, paid in full. I'm telling you, listen, that's amazing grace. That's why we look forward to Jesus coming. Because one day, God will call us home. And so be careful. Judge not, preacher, lest you be judged. Only God can judge me. Yes, he can. A judgmental person is very different from a fruit inspector. And we'll talk about this in just a moment. There are people in your life. There are relationships that you have. People that you love. And I hope you have people who love you like this, that whenever you get a step outside of the will of God, there's people who love you enough, come alongside you, that is not a judgmental person, but judge your behavior and say, hey, I love you in Jesus' name, but you're a step outside of the will of God. I want to see you get back. That's a fruit inspector. That's a brother or sister in Christ. A judgmental person sees the person get out of step with the Lord, and they stand over with their buddies and say, look, can you believe that? They used to teach Sunday school. They used to be this, they used to be that. Can you believe that? I just can't believe it. And they talk about them. And they run them down. And they attack their character. Never once do they go, hey, I love you too much to see you stay like this. If you're going to stay on that path, you're going to have to walk over me. It's the difference between a judgmental person and a fruit inspector who loves you. Amen? We could stay there a while, but we'll move on. Number two, a judgmental person is not as critical of themselves as they are of others. I didn't tell you I love you this morning before we started, but I love you. Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. A judgmental person gets blind of themselves, and they forget, and they lose sight of who they once were. They lose sight that harshness, the tenacity in which I go after other people, or the grace or the mercy that I extend to others, is what I can expect. Not just from the Lord, but from others. You ever notice this? At times you get a little self-righteous, you get high on your horse, you're quick to critique others, and next thing you know, you look around and you got a bunch of critics yourself. You got people that are harsh and difficult and attacking your every move. Have you ever stepped back and go, man, the exact same critic and critical nature that I'm experiencing, I'm extending to other people? Or, by the grace of God, when the sweet fellowship is sweet and you're extending mercy and grace, have you ever stepped back and go, man, oh man, there's some people in my life who are being really gracious and really merciful. A judgmental person is not as critical of themselves as they are of others. James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now I need to be careful here, because you need to understand that just because now from now on the rest of your life you're just really merciful and really gracious, but yet you've never come to a saving relationship with Jesus, does not mean it will cause you to escape the judgment of God. Because the wages of sin is death. There's no escaping that judgment apart from the redemptive work of Christ. The saving work of Jesus in your life. But he says the measure you use will be measured back to you. So dear friend, let me encourage you. Be really cautious with your criticism. in the church place, the church house, the family of God. I told folks before, looking for a church, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't join one. If you find it, don't join it, because you'll mess it up. There isn't one. We all got our struggles. We all have our problems. We need to love one another, help them to see, walk in the path of righteousness. But be really careful with your words of criticism. In your workplace, your boss, your supervisors, be really careful with your criticism. Judgmental people are extremely critical of others. You know, I've not found a judgmental person who's their own toughest critic. This leads into our next point, but judgmental people tend to, they criticize heavy on others, but man, when somebody really has a godly picture of themselves and their need of Christ and their desperation for God, they're not judgmental people. They get it. They understand. That leads us to number three. A judgmental person never looks in the mirror. A judgmental person never looks in the mirror. Let's look at verse 3. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Notice the comparative language here. The speck in your brother's eye. But do not consider the plank in your own eye. And why do you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Notice here, hypocrite. That's emphatic. It's strong. First, remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. By the way, notice it says, it doesn't say just leave the speck in your brother's eye. It says you'll remove it. But you got to start by looking in the mirror. You got to start with you. The idea of the speck here, and it's a really minute piece of something in an individual's eye that it's almost not visible just without close examination. I thought I'd relate it to this. The idea of the language here is I wear contacts, and every now and then mowing grass or just being out and about or whatever the case may be, I tend to rub my eyes a lot, and sometimes maybe sleep or something like that, and it'll get in my eye, and it'll get under my contact. And it is, for me, if I take my contact out, I can't see it. And sometimes take my contact, and it'll still be in there, and I'll have to ask Daydrian, and she'll come over. She's got a lot better eyesight than I do, but I have to get a bright light and try to find, see whether it's scratched or something on my eye. But just to the average person, without me blinking, people sometimes notice because my eye will be red because I've been messing with it or just blinking a lot trying to get it out of there. People may notice that way. But other than that, those indications, there's no way to tell whether it's there or not. Other than those other behaviors that give those indications. And so that's kind of the idea here. Here is somebody, and Jesus loved to give these illustrations that were so preposterous that they weren't real, but it helped drive home the point. It was exaggerated language. And he's saying that's the idea. Somebody's got a little bit of something, little bit of something that's almost invisible to you. But here you are with a tree branch in your eye, and you're trying to help them with this little bitty speck, yet you've got this thing, this log hanging out of your eye. That's American Christianity, isn't it? That's Facebook Christianity. But we see somebody, they stumbled, they're struggling a little bit, and man, we are ready to hammer them. We're ready to turn them into a Facebook status, a social media status. Man, we're ready to put them on the business meeting agenda Man, you let a church get difficult, and a pastor's trying to lead, and few people ready to run them off, and man, you see people come to business meetings who you didn't even know were still members. Be careful, friend. Start by looking in the mirror. Examine yourself. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." Notice the difference. And this is not a judgmental person, but it is saying there is a speck with your brother. Restore him. But notice this: considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. He's saying, don't forget about yourself. Don't forget you struggle. Don't forget you still got a flesh suit on too. We got to be careful. John 8:7-9. "So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, 'He who is without sin among you,'" remember the lady coming and the men, they're ready to stone her and kill her, and they're just continuing berating Jesus with these questions. "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Notice this. "And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst." He stands up and says, "Hey, where are they?" Do you ever wonder what Jesus wrote in the sand? You know, I wonder if it was like, I don't know, some of you may, when I was a kid in elementary, sometimes the teacher had to go out of the room and left somebody in charge, and they got to go up to the marker board or the blackboard, and if anybody talked, they'd write their name down and write what they did. I don't know if that ever happened at your school or not, but I wonder, Miss Carrie, that's what happened here with Jesus. If he just starts writing their name and then starts listing what they struggle with, and you know, so then towards the end, it doesn't take these guys very long to figure out, right? I'll go ahead and leave. I'll save you some time. I don't know what's being written here. It's just my silly creativity. I don't know. But I wonder sometimes what it may be like driving in the car after Sunday with your conversation. If Jesus might start writing in the front window. Or I wonder in the break room at work, if Jesus got a cup of coffee and just pulled out a pen and started writing on the table. Dear friend, let me come down here and look you eyeball to eyeball. Dear friend, but for the grace of God, so go I. One of the goofiest yet godliest men I ever was around was Dr. Steve Wilks at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. He too would come in and sing Amazing Grace to the tune of House of the Rising Sun. I mean, just silly and goofy, just do all kinds of stuff. You never knew what he was going to do or say. He was saved during the Jesus movement. And that gives a pretty good picture of how he was and who he was. And you thought he was just, you thought he was a loon sometimes. Had two earned PhDs. I mean, but man, God used him. And I took spiritual formations with him. And so he'd have devotional things that we would have to do. And then he would talk about some of the pastors and preachers who have had great moral failures. And he would say this. He'd say, "Men, one thing I've learned in ministry, there are godlier men than me who have fallen victim to the temptations of the enemy. And then he'd say this, but for the grace of God, so go I. That stuck with a country preacher. I want to run my race well. I want to finish well. And I need to be really careful. I see people across the aisle or at work or whatever your sphere of influence is, to stand back and become really critical before I've ever looked in the mirror and go, oh man, I've got some own struggles. Now, verse 5 still says, remove the speck from your brother's eye. There's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. You got to begin with yourself. You got to work on the plank. Then when you've walking clean and close with the Lord, you can help remove the speck. But write down this four-letter word next to that, L-O-V-E. If folks know you love them. And I don't mean the Hallmark card, love them. I don't mean just on their birthday or anniversary, love them. But you're walking and sharing life with them and saying, brother, I love you too much to let you keep going this way. And you're invested in their life, you can make a difference. But you better first look in the mirror. Number 4. A judgmental person has no discernment. Has no discernment. Now this is one of those passages it's hard to wrestle with a little bit. Look at verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. There's a lot of speculation about what's meant here. A lot of going back and forth and jeering back and forth. And man, commentators don't necessarily agree. You read one, he's got a position. You read another, he's got a position. I'm just going to try to tell you where I land on this because I believe context is important. So in the context, Jesus is talking about loving each other in a way that you're not judgmental, but you're helping them to walk faithfully in Christ. You're trying to help them to live a life of righteousness. Remember, the whole context of the Sermon on the Mount is this kingdom principles, kingdom living in our world, in the here and now. And so then in that context, he follows it up. Chapter 7, seek the Lord, knock, seek, be obedient to the Lord. Verse 12, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And then in the middle of this, you've got verse 6. Don't give what's holy to the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. They'll trample them under, devour them, and come after you. Here's what I believe Jesus is saying. Trying to look at a godless world and fix everybody is not the approach Jesus is calling us to. What he's saying is you need to use some wisdom. And what's the holy things? What's the truth? First and foremost, it's the gospel of Jesus. And then secondly, it's the truth of His Word. And so in this context of not being judgmental, but being a fruit inspector, helping people walk alongside and grow in their faith, what are the dogs and the swine? It's people who could care less about the things of God. Remember, it's this Palestinian Jew context where dogs and pigs were the unholy of unholy. And so what Jesus is saying is that we've got to be careful how we're growing in the Lord. What Jesus is teaching us using the wisdom God has given us is that you can't go alongside and try to correct everybody and help them grow in this. First, they've got to come to know Jesus. And a lot of people don't even care about the things of God. But a judgmental person is so prideful, they're ready to help anybody and everybody. They think in their mind, they've got life's answers for everybody, so they're going around constantly talking and spewing just ridiculousness, and there are people who could care less about it. Now, we got to be really careful here. Because at the end of the day, I cannot know any individual on this earth. I can't know their heart. I can't know whether God's dealing with them or not. And so in this context, and we use this real practically, although we don't quote this scripture, we use this real practically in Memphis. We go on our Memphis mission trip. And we tell people, hey, there are going to be a lot of people coming. You're going to walk around some, talk to individuals, and try to share the gospel. And you're going to run into people as you try to share the gospel who all they want to do is argue. They've got some obscure thing. They've got some. All they want to do is argue. You know what we tell them? Don't argue. Leave them with a sweet taste in their mouth. Love them in Jesus' name. Pray for them and go on to somebody else, because there's somebody else waiting, wringing their hands, saying, boy, I hope they get to me and I get a chance to be saved today. You've got coworkers and you've got friends you need to pray for, you need to love them, but you are not going to argue them into the kingdom of God. God's going to have to deal with their heart. On Wednesday or Thursday, we ran into a young lady named Odessa. And we were at an apartment complex. And I don't know, it may have been Erica that had talked to her first. Or her and David had went up to this young lady and sat down. She was sitting in this breezeway. And so they were trying to start a conversation and just visit with her. And she seemed somewhat interested, at least asking questions, but just going back and forth. She had a really twisted worldview, just a conglomeration of things. And so then some other people went over and tried to talk and witness to her. And then Ronnie went over and sat down, visited, witnessed to her. And I had two or three people, in a matter of a few moments, come up to me and said, I can't believe it. I said, what's that? Brother Ronnie witnessed to her and she didn't get saved. I can't believe it. She is tough. If Ronnie can't. And I got in the truck with Ronnie, and I told him, and it grieved him to no end. God wasn't dealing with her heart. Ronnie can't save her. Chris can't save her. Pastor Jonathan can't save her. It's going to take the Spirit of God working in her life to draw her to Himself so that she can then choose whether she's going to follow Jesus or not. And so a judgmental person has no discernment. Proverbs 9, 7 through 8. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. This is the fleshing out of not casting your pearls before swine. 2 Peter 3:14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you also, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which you, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, that they do also the rest of the Scriptures. A carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. So sometimes we're trying to help correct people who are wicked, fools, could care less about the things of God. And the whole time, you've got another coworker. While you're arguing with the loudest one in the building, there's a coworker. Their kids are rebelling, their marriage is falling apart, and they are desperate. And we are so consumed with trying to win an argument because we want to show how much we know about the Bible. The lady in the cubicle next to you is desperate, holding on by a thread. And if you'll just share the gospel with her, she'll fall all over herself to be saved. A judgmental person has no discernment. So, what do we do with this? Stop being judgmental. Have a time where you get before the Lord. We're going to have that time in just a moment. Ask God. God, show me. Maybe you'll be willing to pray this. Specifically, point two and point three. God, show me. Am I being more critical of others than I am of myself? And I'm more quick to look out the window than I am in the mirror. Just ask God. Ask God to give you discernment about that sphere of influence that you have. Your neighbor, man, one neighbor's wearing you out, wanting to argue about how high or how low you're cutting your grass, and the other neighbor is waiting for somebody to invite them to church. God, give me discernment. And some of you just need to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Today, God's reminded you that God, for you take your last breath tonight, you will stand before a holy and living God. And you will either stand there by yourself, giving an account of yourself, or you will stand there with the sinless Savior as your advocate, as your lawyer, as your attorney, defending you. Won't you be saved today? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent and believe. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word, the truth of your word. God, I pray this morning if there's anybody here who has not yet surrendered their heart and life to you, God, I pray you give them grace to be saved. I pray they'd repent and believe on you, Lord. God, I pray that they'd trust you for salvation. And if that's you this morning, you pray this. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. You remain in the attitude of prayer. If you prayed that right then, I'm going to be standing down front. You come and take my hand and say, Brother Chris, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me today.